tubing. We use laryngoscopes, all sorts of instruments that are made of plastic. So the goal here is not to get rid of.
Hi, this is Mark Ruffalo, and you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
Wayfarm respectfully and humbly acknowledges the past, present, and future Indigenous peoples on whose ancestral lands Wayfarm and our radio station, WGXC, operate and broadcast. The Mohicans named themselves the people of the waters that are never still, following their arrival along the Mohicanitta, the great ebb tide river, also known as the Hudson. The Mohicans stewarded this land over many generations in dynamic communication and interaction with diverse Indigenous peoples, including the Haudenosaunee Mohawk and the Munsee Lenape. Mohican descendants today live in communities in Ontario, Wisconsin, and Oklahoma. For further information on Mohican history and the contemporary community of the Stockbridge Munsee Band of Mohican Indians, please visit Mohican.com.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Upstate Films, where membership provides access to world-class cinema, first-run feature films, art house films, live music, and more, plus advance notice of close-up series conversations with directors and actors and other special events at the Star Theatre in Rhinebeck, the Orpheum in Saugerties, and traveling around the Hudson Valley. Information at upstatefilms.org. That's upstatefilms.org.
Wayfarm's WGXC is made possible in part by the generous support of Kirby Crone in Hudson, New York. WGXC monthly supporters care deeply about Creative Community Radio. Their generosity and investment keep this unique station viable. You too can become a monthly supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and establishing a donation at the amount of your choosing. We hope you will do so. Thank you so much for your support.
Welcome to Dim the Lights with Jenny and Amanda. I'm Amanda.
I'm Jenny.
And we are coming to you live from our houses, our separate houses in different counties. Who would have thought we could ever make it work? Two hosts in two counties. I am sick tonight, so we are not in the studio, but we are a twice-a-month radio show where we talk about movies every second and fourth Tuesday of the month from 7 to 8 p.m., and we usually pick a theme and watch movies around that theme and then get on the airwaves to talk about them. But before we get into tonight's theme, let's talk about what's playing in the theaters around these parts. Jenny, do you want to take it away first?
I would absolutely love to. Allow me to tell you about what's playing over at the Crandall Theater in Chatham. We have Bob Marley, One Love, Dune Part 2, and Hop. And that's it. that's all we got at the Crandall right now. It's pretty simple. It's a light one. I know. Usually they've got lots and lots. So, I mean, you know, check back on their schedule to see if anything changes. But for now, if you're interested in any of those three movies, you can get, get more info at crandalltheater.org.
Amazing. I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Wyndham Theater in Wyndham, New York. We have... Godzilla and King Kong?
I think it's like Godzilla X Kong.
Yeah, exactly. The flyer, they just put GXK on it, and then the website doesn't list the name of the movie, so they're really making me look bad here. But the new Godzilla King Kong movie. Then we have Kung Fu Panda 4 and Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, so you can check out more about those showtimes at WyndhamTheater.com. That's WIND HAM theater.com.
All right. And now I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Upstate Films, starting with the Star Cinema, which is the location in Rhinebeck. We have Problemista, Perfect Days, Renaissance, a film by Beyonce, Remembering Gene Wilder, The Taste of Things, Inside the Yellow Cocoon Shell, The Boy and the Heron, and 42nd Street. And then we can head on over to the Orpheum Theater, which is the location in Socrates. And there is playing Perfect Days, Ennio, Sweet Charity, Hair, Pandora's Box, Love Lies Bleeding, and Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. And if you're interested in any of those movies, you can head over to upstatefilms.org.
Amazing. All right, last but not least, I'm going to tell you about what's playing at the Spotlight Theater in Hudson, New York. That's the 8-screen theater on Fairview Avenue. We have, you guessed it, folks, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. We have Immaculate, Arthur the King, Kung Fu Panda 4, Dune Part 2, Luca, and that's it. Is it Luca? That's from 2021.
Yeah.
Maybe because it was a pandemic movie.
Yeah, I think so. I think that was also another direct to streaming. All right. And yeah. Then, wait, did you say the website?
Oh, no, I didn't. So that's everything that's at Spotlight Hudson. And you can find out more at thespotlighttheaters.com and selecting the Hudson location from the drop down menu.
Gorgeous. And then last for me, I'm going to tell you about what's playing at TSL, otherwise known as Time and Space Limited. They just have the calendar for March up, so if you're interested in next month's, I would head on over to their website. But for now, this weekend, you can expect the Met Opera live in HD, Romeo and Juliet, Ennio, Io Capitano, Perfect Days, Hundreds of Beavers, Anselm, and Zone of Interest is still playing on Friday or on Sunday and Monday. If you're interested and you still haven't seen that one. And if you'd like to know about the show times, you can head on over to timeandspace.org.
Amazing. Thank you so much. I'm sorry about my sound. We began this radio show broadcasting from home, but at this point we haven't done that in quite a while.
So true.
I'm all over the place.
During that last moment, my cat is playing with a very crinkly toy behind me, and I was like, "What is she doing?"
Thankfully, I can't hear. I mean, I'm seated right next to my window, which is overlooking the street, and I always think you might be able to hear my neighbors talking loudly or the cars, but hopefully not.
It's all part of the texture of radio, baby.
Actually, it lets you know we're just two real kids. Just
exactly.
People making real radio.
Exactly.
All right. So Jenny and I, as mentioned before we told you about what's playing in the theaters locally, we have a twice a month show, but we are going to be gone for the next month and thus off the radio because we are both going to be in Italia.
Italia.
So tonight's theme was quite simply Italy.
Italy movies, whatever that means to you.
Exactly. I tried to keep it narrow to Venice movies.
Yeah, totally.
We were allowed to take it any which way we wanted. Initially, we had a lofty plan of stretching out the Italy theme into multiple themes, and we were going to pre-record those shows for while we're gone. We're so kind and sweet, but also so dumb.
We're so dumb. Dumbest idea we've ever had.
We're just like two naive idiots.
Yeah.
But Jenny, do you want to tell me a little bit about something that you watched for the
Italy? I would love to. I would love to start with a movie that's in the theaters right now because you named it just mere moments ago. And I was like, oh yeah, that's one of the movies that I watched for our theme.
Is it Luca?
No, although Luca is also a great Italy movie. I've already seen it. I saw it when it came out. And it's like, it's actually great. It fits right in to the like sun-soaked Italian summer theme. Ooh. That a lot of Italy movies kind of pursue. That's been my overwhelming experience of watching movies set in Italy for my entire life up until now, and also just now, is that a lot of them are like, wow, isn't it sunny and aren't we sweaty?
Yeah. We are just having the most luxurious vacation.
Exactly. But no, actually, the first movie I'm going to talk about is not sun-soaked. It's dark and frightening. I watched the movie Immaculate.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Whoa, fun.
It's a brand new horror movie. I was looking it up because I was like, oh yeah, what's the deal with that one? And then I saw that it was set in Italy and I was like, oh, let's just go watch that this weekend. What else am I doing? So Immaculate, I won't go into too much detail because it is brand new, but it is a movie set in Italy. There's a lot of Italian in it, which is very fun for me, a person not trying very hard to learn a little bit of Italian, but who would like to. Just like a little bit. It's a movie from just now. It just came out like last week, I think, directed by Michael Mohan. And I think it got like, it's been getting some buzz because it stars Sydney Sweeney, who's kind of having a moment. And she has done like a bunch of like the promotion circuit because she produced it. And it was, I think it was a movie that was like going to get shelved for a while. And then she like did a lot of work to kind of bring it to fruition, which I think is really cool. Cause it's like, it's pretty much just like a fun kind of spooky horror movie about nuns. And it's like, she's like a, you know, hot Gen Z actress. who everyone's really into right now.
Yeah. She can put butts in those seats.
She's doing it. And she was like, okay, I'm going to actually throw my sway behind this weird nun movie. And I was like, wow, that's cool. Love that for you.
Oria kids.
Yeah.
You know, literally. Exactly. Pay bills.
Yeah, exactly.
So wait, tell me, without giving away too much, tell me a little bit more. I can assume from the title of the movie that there might be some Immaculate Conception.
Oh yeah, baby. That's the thing, is that I don't want to like spoil this movie, but also it's a very straight up and down, like it delivers exactly what it tells you it's going to deliver. And so I found it really fun. It was like a pretty satisfying. It's an hour and 29 minutes.
Oh baby, that's basically a short film these days.
Exactly. It's like incredible. But so Sydney Sweeney plays a woman named Cecilia who is American, but has been called to the faith and has been, you know, pursuing the act of being a nun, but is ready to take her vows and has been recruited by a church in Italy that is specifically for taking care of like elderly nuns in the last days of their lives. So it's like, it's a hospice, like it's, but it's like a massive, beautiful building, of course. But it's like a hospice center for older nuns. And so she travels to Italy. It's very cute because she simply does not speak any Italian and everyone keeps trying to speak to her. And she's like, I don't know, which is very funny. But she, you know, joins this convent, takes her vows, and starts to notice, obviously, there's some weird stuff going on. Some of the sisters are walking around wearing full red masks, really weird, in the middle of the night. And she's like, ooh, creepy. And of course, it has the classic, like, fish out of water, where she shows up and her, the person who's her supervisor, is like the mean nun, but she like becomes friends with like another kind of like quirky nun, and it's like it's actually so charming. There's like an incredible montage pretty early on where like it's, she's being trained in the care of these like elderly women, and they do it as like a fun goofy montage where it's, you know, scene after scene of her like doing the laundry, like dealing with these like kooky old women. Like,
ooh, that's appeal.
It's really fun. It's like very cute. And then, you know, she starts to notice these sinister underpinnings. She sees some mysterious text written on a wall. Yeah, she sees one nun in the middle of the night praying before the altar, but she's like face down on the ground weeping. And when she goes to touch her shoulder to be like, is everything okay? She notices that she's also one of the women wearing the like full red masks, which is very creepy. And so what she, very early on, she has a nightmare about being like impaled. And then, of course, just a few weeks later, she comes down with what we recognize as morning sickness. And she is considered to be an immaculate conception. She has become pregnant without the touch of another. And then, of course, her time in the convent becomes very different because everyone starts to be like, wow, the second coming is inside of your body. And it's a very fun, perfectly average horror movie with, like, you know, your classic jump scares, but it's, like, lit very beautifully. The costuming's really great. Everyone does, like, a pretty great job with acting. And it's short. It gets in, gets out. The conclusion's very satisfying. I had a great time. Immaculate kind of rocks.
I love to hear that because, you know, when the trailer came out, I was like, okay, whatever. Like, another... There's a lot of shots in the trailer of, like, uh-oh, it's a spooky hand. It's grabbing her.
Totally.
It just seemed... like the kind of stuff that I get fed up with. But however, those kinds of movies, I always specifically crave. Like on a day like today, when I was working from home on the couch, and I'm like, well, really want to watch something that I haven't seen, but also want to watch something that's just like pure entertainment.
Yeah, totally. You
know, it's not trying to make me pay too much attention.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of musical cues and sound cues.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm really hoping for.
It's like, it's trashy, but it's pretty good. Like, on the scale of trashy horror movies, like, it's definitely on the upper echelon. Like, everyone does a great job. Like, visually, it looks great for a movie, like many horror movies, that's mostly really dark and you can't see a lot. Like, they do a great job of lighting it so that it actually looks well lit and you can see what's happening. Like there's a lot of candlelight, but it works really well. And slight spoiler, but my favorite part, which I'm just going to like say,
just drop it,
but like turn the volume down if you're like, oh, immaculate. I don't think it really matters, but something that I really like about it is that it's not like a haunting movie. Like there's no haunting in it. It's just scary nuns.
That's why I'm like, Amanda,
I think you will enjoy this flick.
No, I'm so glad that you said that. Yeah. I'm so glad that you said that. Really quick, is my mic making a funny, like, kind of rattle or anything?
Nope. I can't hear it.
Great. excellent news. Wow, I'm so glad you said that. You know what this kind of is making me think of? This isn't taking a big departure from Italy.
Oh yeah, take me there.
Talking about like trashy horror and trashy newer horror that we really enjoyed. Oh my god, Paranormal Activity colon Next of Kin.
Oh god, like, that movie rocks.
It rocks so hard. A religious sect that's like not what they seem. There's like a local town guy that's like, those guys aren't Amish.
Truly underrated, like, new kind of trashy horror movie.
Yeah.
Paranormal Activity : Next of Kin.
Exactly. And it's funny. I feel like they used to do this with a lot of franchises in the 80s, too, where like, in order for some, like, writer or small-time writer or director to, like, get their movie made, they had to, like, hide it under, like, the umpteenth sequel of some franchise, but it has nothing to do with it. It's like that.
Right, it's so really fun.
Why it's Paranormal Activity, I don't know. I guess because it's a POV movie.
Yeah, but I feel like that's...
Yeah, it's like...
That's the only thing it has in common,
with, like, ghosts.
Which is, like, why it's so fun. I tried to watch the first Paranormal Activity last year or the year before because I'd never seen it, and I know... Yeah. It's, like, obviously that kind of movie is really tired now, but I know people are always like, well, the first one's really scary, though. And so... I tried to watch it and it was so boring. I really couldn't get into it.
I've never seen it either. At some point I will have to try because it is iconic.
But I didn't finish it, so maybe that's why. I think I watched the first like 45 minutes and I was kind of like, I've done as much as I'm willing to.
Exactly. And I feel like it just re-grabbed what was special about Blair Witch Project, where it's like it is kind of boring and you don't see anything,
right?
But it's like the people acting and like a blanket moving,
Right.
Does well when you're like really focused on
Right.
something. You're like nervous about seeing something move and then you do see it. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing is that I feel like I don't. It was surprising to me that I found it so tedious because, like, you and I both love the Blair Witch Project, and it's like I can really get into a pretty, like, slow burning movie, but something about I think maybe it's like it's suffering from my modern eyes and having seen so many found footage movies like that now, where it was just like the things that were meant to be like unsettling didn't really hit, and the characters were so like not even unlikable, but just really boring. Like because the characters in the Blair Witch
Blair Witch are
Project are
great.
like famously so annoying, but you're like so compelled by them because they're very
Yes.
realistic. They're like
They're
people who
full
are
characters.
exactly,
They're full
but.
people.
And in Paranormal Activity, if I remember correctly, which again, I didn't finish it, but it was just like, it was like a couple who are arguing, but they didn't have like, they had no personality. There was nothing that I could grab onto. I was just kind of like, I'm watching videos of them sleeping for a long time.
Yeah.
Nothing is
Why do they have a
happening.
CCTV in their bedroom?
I know. I can't remember. I think
Why do
it's
they
because,
have a CCTV
yeah. So, it wasn't for me, but Paranormal Activity next of kin, however. Incredible.
This is actually kind of a good jump into a movie that I watched that pertains to Venice, Italy. I'm not gonna have much to say because I watched it kind of a while ago now, like several weeks ago. But I did watch Kenneth Branagh's A Haunting in Venice.
Oh my God. Okay, yes, I've also seen that movie.
Oh, you have? Okay,
Yeah,
sorry.
I watched it with my family.
Yeah, it's a perfect movie to watch with your family. It is, as many listening may know, it's the newest installment of Kenneth Branagh's revival of Poirot. The detective, the like French
He's
detective.
French, yeah. Hercule Poirot. You can tell
Wow.
from his accent in the film.
Sometimes it's hard with those Europeans. I don't mean to be racist, but
I mean, it's Kenneth Branagh doing a French accent,
I'm like
so.
French, Italian accents. I get, yeah,
Belgian? Yeah, who
it
could
is
say?
French. You're right. But so Poirot is living in Venice in this, and he has decided he's done doing his Sherlock Holmes thing and figuring out mysteries. He's done. He's had enough. He's just trying to enjoy his simple life. And then his friend comes out of the blue and tries to rope him in classically for one last job. And it's a woman who owns a very large piazza. And she's been seeing a ghost of her daughter, her teenage daughter, or young 20s daughter. And so I don't know, this movie wasn't perfect, but boy, when it started, I was like, this movie's great. It's really colorful.
Yeah, true.
Yeah, like
It
when it
looks
first
really good.
started. Yeah, when it first started, I was like, wow, this movie looks really good. Oh yeah, by the way, this is a brand new movie. This is from 2023. Oh my gosh, I gotta pull it up too. I'm sorry, I'm so scattered,
No, you're
but
good. That's what I'm doing right now. I was like, oh yeah, I have a computer in front of me. I could be Googling
I
things.
know, I do too. But yeah, so the redheaded woman who I think is in that cowboy show, Yellowstone.
The
Exactly. Yeah, Kelly Riley plays the woman who owns this, the British woman who owns this
Yellowstone.
piazza. Kenneth Branagh plays Poirot. His friend who comes to get him out of his hiding is Tina Fey.
Tina Fey. Yeah.
We also, it's kind of a stacked cast. We got Michelle Yeoh up in here. We have Jamie Dornan, and actually, maybe it's not that stacked because those are
I
the only
mean,
other people that appear right
that's like
now.
four names.
And also, just anytime, like, well, when Michelle Yeoh shows up, it's just like
She
that
does
her
so
name count,
much.
her one name counts as like three names.
Exactly,
So I'm
for
like, oh,
real.
has Michelle Yeoh in it? It's a stacked cast.
Yeah, exactly. Like they got Michelle. My hot take is that I didn't like that movie. I think it's really
Oh no, it really is. It's
boring.
not good.
Yeah.
I also didn't like it when it first started. I was like, ooh, Venice. And like it just looked really
Yeah,
good. And
totally.
I was wishing that like more movies kind of were like, I don't know, the really hammily, beautifully shot. And you
Yeah,
know, like, I don't know,
absolutely.
it's very saturated. But no, that movie is boring. I don't think the Poirot mysteries are my kind of mystery. I mean, like, his whole thing, right, is that he like figures it out at the end and they're like, how did you do it? And then
Yeah,
he
totally.
explains it all in one go. And that's like what's very exciting about it is learning it all. I just don't know that that's for me.
Yeah, I found it frustrating because I actually love that kind of mystery. Like it's Agatha Christie and I love that kind of like locked room, everyone's like a whole cast of characters and one person's dead and you have to figure out what happened. And like,
That kind of thing is fun. Clue.
The recounting of it is less interesting to me because the solution is always kind of like whatever. It's more about to me the like excitement and mystery of a group of strangers who all have like a specific character trait who
Yeah.
anybody could be a suspect. Like I always find that stuff so exciting, which is why this is the only one of the new Poirot movies that I've seen, but I hear they're all bad and that this is the best of the three, which is
No.
such a bummer because I love like a locked room mystery like that. I think it's so
I do
fun.
too. I mean, like that's basically what the thing is.
Yeah, exactly. It's so exciting when it's like anybody could be the murderer. But
Yeah.
because this movie, it's just very flat. Like the way that it's filmed is beautiful. And I actually really like, there's a lot of really weird choices with like fisheye lens and like
Yeah.
shots where like Poirot is
Not
being
all
filmed from,
successful.
no, not all successful, but I appreciate the swings where like, yeah,
Yeah.
there's a ton of shots where like they're being filmed from above. And like, it's kind of an interesting choice for a movie that I think it's an attempt to make it feel more claustrophobic, which it does work
Okay.
in that way. But all of the characters are really boring and uninteresting and like just do not have much depth at all. Like they're
Yep.
all, I feel like Michelle Yeoh's the most interesting character and she's not in the movie for the whole
No,
time,
they kill
which
her so
is
fast. Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Like the first fifth of this movie was kind of fun because it takes
yeah,
place on Italian Venetian Halloween.
right, which is
And
so
they open
fun.
up this piazza to a bunch of like orphans to have a Halloween party.
And they
And so
play a really
there's kids.
scary movie for them.
Yeah, there's kids in old Halloween masks, which is the scariest thing ever. Always,
Yeah, 100%.
would basically they're just wearing like sacks with holes in them for a
Right.
Halloween costume. Terrible. And yeah, so like, and then Michelle Yeoh comes, and Michelle Yeoh is a medium. Who some people say is, and Poirot is a real non-believer. Some people say she's a fraud. And so yeah, she's one of the more interesting characters who we get a little more time with, which is why she's interesting because we just they take their time with her a little more.
Yeah.
But yeah, then she just dies super fast. And I had the same problem where, yeah, it starts out kind of fun and looking very pretty and exciting and spooky. But yeah, there's a lot of characters and I have no idea who anyone is. Call
Yeah.
me a dum-dum, but I just, or like maybe I wasn't paying attention hard enough, but it shouldn't be when your plot is a mystery in the first place. I feel like, or like this kind of whodunit mystery, I feel like I'm really supposed to know who the Colonel Mustard is and who the Mr.
Absolutely.
Plum is.
Yeah.
And I have no idea how people were related to each other in this
Right.
movie,
Well,
why they were
that's
actually all in this house, or the also big house mysteries, like big dark house movies. I feel like they really need to give you some time to show you the house.
Absolutely, yeah. You have
And
to like
so you
establish all the
understand.
spaces.
Yeah, so you understand the layout. And this was like, they didn't do that, but yet the story still really relied on certain spaces in the house. So, but because I didn't know the space, they'd be like, oh, yes, that's right. That small nook with just one phone in it. Of course.
Right. Like, what?
Yes.
I do think, like, I mean, hearing you talk about this is making me also realize what of my problems were this movie with this movie were. It's like they're coalescing suddenly. And it's a big part of the problem, I think, is that like novels of this kind, like Agatha Christie, other murder mysteries, are very intricately plotted and written and like incredibly like the characters are never super deep, but because they're all kind of tropes, but it's like the whole story itself is written very specifically so that it unfolds in a particular way. And this movie is like just not well written enough to pull that off. So you do
No.
like, yeah, I don't think you weren't paying attention. I think those characters were like incredibly flat and they all kind of look the same. So
No,
it was really
they
hard to like,
really did them.
yeah, it's hard to tell them apart. It's hard to know who they are to each other. Like you just get like these little moments of melodrama, but no actual information about them. And so
Yeah.
it feels, but like, and not to say that like the information needs to be like spoken aloud, but just like it's trying, I think it's trying to show don't tell, but it's not doing a very good job of showing it. So like the only thing we know is that Jamie Dornan's an alcoholic. Like that's
That's
the
it.
only
That's
thing. Like, or
it.
he's, and he has like PTSD or something, but it's like
Yeah,
he's
he
the
has
only person with
PTSD
any.
from the war, and I guess,
Yeah.
and is maybe a doctor.
Oh, right. Yeah. All right. It's coming back to me a little bit.
There's also a weird part where they go down into like the flooded basement, and I'm like, first of all, they can't, we're about to find out, but they can't possibly have basements in Venice.
No, they definitely don't. There's no, I mean, we will find out soon, but.
We're gonna find out so soon, but they go into a basement and there's like children's bodies
Oh,
there, and like
yeah.
there's like bees that have been living in the children's skeleton, but then they do a weird fisheye lens, and then that's it. We move on, and I'm like, wait, no
Go back.
one's gonna talk about the children's skeletons?
And the bees?
We're
So what happened down here? Yeah, it's like it has a it's yeah, it's frustrating because it is one of those movies where I feel like if it was just tweaked a little bit, it could be so fun. But it just it falls pretty flat,
Yeah.
sadly. So sorry
Yeah.
to Kenneth. So sorry, Kenneth.
Right, Ken. I know you're trying.
You're doing your best. I mean, he's fine. He's chilling so hard. He's making these
He.
movies because it's his passion, not because he
Yeah,
needs the
exactly.
money.
Which is cute. I'm like, oh, you just like wanted to be. It's like he's like Tom Cruise. Like Tom Cruise just makes the movies that he wants to be in, and Kenneth
Exactly.
Branagh does the same thing.
Yeah, totally. He went through his Shakespeare phase. Now he's going through his Christie phase. It happens to,
It's so cute. It's so cute.
yeah.
And I watched
My
it. Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say one other. My last comment about this movie is that I watched it with my parents and my sister, and my mom had to pause it to say, "I hate how he has two mustaches," and then press play again because his Poirot's mustache. He always has like the kind of the curled mustache because he's, you know, the French. He's a French gentleman detective, but in this
Yeah.
one, he's got it's like a two-tiered. It's like a tiered skirt, but instead, it's
Oh
a mustache,
yeah.
and she
Yes.
just. Could not. She was like, I'm so distracted by his stupid mustache.
Oh, I'm gonna have to agree with your mom.
No, she's right. She's absolutely
And
right.
she's so right. It is pretty hard to digest, you
Yeah,
know.
it's
Oh,
distracting.
oh. When I was pretty young in my hippie middle school that we went to, we read Frankenstein. And we watched Kenneth Branagh's movie version of
Yes,
Frankenstein.
because it's so good.
Yeah, I think it's like very much like Francis Ford Coppola's Bram Stoker's Dracula. I think it's Kenneth
Yeah.
Branagh's Mary Shelley's Frankenstein.
Yes. Exactly.
I haven't seen it since, and I remember being really freaked out by it, and I'm trying to go back and see that Kenneth Branagh classic.
Yes,
It's
dude.
also Robert De Niro plays Frankenstein's monster in it.
It's really good. I haven't seen it probably since I was in high school or college, but like I genuinely think that's a great movie.
I think it's probably good. I just remember being really scared as a kid because there's like some gore in it that's
It's
kind of alarming.
scary. Yeah.
We were probably like 9.
Yeah,
Just like,
totally.
ah,
It's time.
why are we watching this in
It's
school?
too scary. We should do a theme that's like directors, like names movie. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
That's a really good.
directors, yeah,
directors, authors, film.
Yeah, directors taking on authors.
Yeah, totally.
Well, Haunting in Venice is out there streaming right now. I think it's on, let's see, where are you streaming? On Hulu. So you can check it out for yourself. You can set your eyes on that two-pronged mustache yourself.
It is, like, visually a very cool movie.
Yeah, it starts out looking very cool. And then it gets very tedious, despite still looking kind of cool.
Yeah, classic.
But it does show off some Venice, you know?
That was
nice. All right, Jenny, let me hear more about another movie that you watched.
All right, I got another Venice movie for you. Great news.
Yeah.
I watched a movie that was recommended to both of us by our friend and colleague Danielle, who is currently in Venice, who we shall be joining shortly.
Yeah.
I watched Paul Schrader's The Comfort of Strangers.
Ooh, a Schrader joint.
A Schrader joint, baby. It is a movie from 1990, and I have great news. It's an erotic thriller. A firmly 1990s erotic thriller, and it was so fun. I had a great time. I don't think it's like an amazing movie, but because the 90s erotic thriller is such a fun genre for both of us and a movie that like we just don't really get anymore, I had a really good time watching it.
Yes. Oh, like kind of how we were saying not too long ago about American Fiction, where just like movies used to be better. So a movie that's just like actually not that great is just shines so bright in our current
hits. Yeah, it really does. Especially like I looked it up and it has pretty like poor reviews, or like not poor, but like middling. Like it's a very like 3-star middle of the road kind of movie. So I put it on being like, all right, this probably isn't going to be that great, but I should have trusted, because every time Danielle has recommended a movie to me, it's been amazing, and I need to believe her.
Fan of the show, beloved friend Danielle Norris, loves movies and has great taste.
She really does. But so, The Comfort of Strangers is a movie about a young couple, played by Rupert Everett and Natasha Richardson, who have been dating for a long time but are not married. Natasha Richardson has children from a previous marriage, but they decide to go on vacation to Venice to kind of explore their relationship and decide whether or not they want to stay together or break up, because they've been kind of holding for a while. And we learn that they have been on vacation to Venice before. And so they're kind of retreading that old ground to see if their relationship is still viable or not. Yeah. And so while they're there, it's a lot of like the beginning is a lot of them just kind of wandering and feeling kind of lost. Like it has like sort of it's got like tone poem energy, where it's just like two people hanging out for a while.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, in sun-soaked Venice, and it's gorgeous, and they're kind of figuring out what they want to do, if they still even like each other. Like they start out very like, it almost feels very platonic. And then one night they go out to a restaurant kind of late, and the only bar that's open is kind of a twisty way. They get a little bit lost trying to find it, but they get in and they have a drink, and a man sits down at their table, and it's Christopher Walken. And he's there. He's Italian, but he's playing an Italian person who lives in Venice, but has an accent because he's married to a Canadian person, is what he says, which is in the fiction of the film, he is Italian, but it's kind of like, why is this Christopher Walken? I don't believe him.
His character's not lying.
No, like, his character's not lying. I just don't believe him.
I don't either.
But he sits down with them, and he's like very genial, and they're kind of having a nice time chatting and having a drink together. And then as soon as they start asking him about where he's from, he's like, oh, well, you know, I'm from here, but my wife is Canadian and blah, blah, blah. But it's a really long story. He's like, I shouldn't tell you. And then he's like, well, I'll tell you. And then he proceeds to tell them like an incredibly deranged and depressing story about his childhood that's like got a really weird like sexual undertone to it, but is also like in an unhinged thing to say to strangers. And both of them are just kind of like, okay. And they like hang out with him for hours. He keeps buying them wine. Eventually they stumble out, but like they both feel pretty sick and they're drunk and they can't find their way home, so they fall asleep in the street. And then they wake up the next morning, they wander blearily to a coffee shop to just try and get some coffee, and then they're like, okay, we're gonna go back to our hotel. But while they're sitting at the cafe, they see Christopher Walken walk by, and they both kind of hide because they're like, oh my God, that freak, he's
Oh,
gonna come
not that
talk to us
guy.
again. But tragically, he spots them and he's like, you guys should come over to my house. We'll have dinner. It's gonna be nice. He's like, I can't believe you slept in the street. That's crazy. And they're like, yeah, totally. Okay. But they're like too polite for their own good, so they go with him. They go up to his apartment. They end up just going to sleep and like napping at his beautiful, he has a beautiful piazza also. And so piazza. And so they sleep, they have an incredible night's rest. They wake up with like renewed love and attraction for each other. They realize that their clothes are gone because their clothes have been taken away to get cleaned, so they kind of have to do the like uncomfortable like walking around in a sheet in this like miss like the stranger's house. And then they come upon a woman. And who is it? It's Helen Mirren. She's Christopher Walken's wife, his Canadian wife, who he mentioned.
Oh, wow, what a wife.
And God, she's gorgeous and she's just wonderful. But you know what? She's also kind of weird because she starts saying really weird stuff to both of them. And they end up staying for dinner because it's just really hard to say no to these freaky people. They have some more really weird interactions. Christopher Walken takes Rupert Everett's character, who's the boyfriend in this couple, like into a separate room to like tell him some more weird stories about his father, and then randomly gut punches him. It's so crazy. He acts like a total lunatic, but like neither of them, like both of the Natasha Richardson and Rupert Everett are both like, these people are crazy, but we have to like, we can't react, I guess, because we're just worried about what they'll do. So they go through this night, more weird stuff happens. They end up making it through to the end and then leaving and being like, this was crazy. What the heck? But it renews their relationship in a very beautiful way. And they start to have like a much more like erotic, intimate, romantic time on their vacation. And so the movie kind of goes along in that vein for a while. I don't want to summarize the whole thing, but it's just happening because it's spilling out
Oh,
of me. This
no.
movie was so
Yes, let
fun.
it chill. Let it chill, friend.
And so towards the, they're enjoying their vacation. Rupert Everett proposes to her all of a sudden. He's like, actually, do you want to get married? And she's like, maybe.